Praise the Lord. We continue in a series that's going to lead up to the Easter season, if you will, but talking, and the theme is the power of the cross, and specifically this morning, dealing with the cross and my pain. The cross and my pain, it will be the subject matter this morning. I receive a number of phone calls occasionally. I received one early this last week. And the newspaper wanting a statement. They're always wanting statements because the line has been drawn over the last short while about the church and our stances and what we believe. And it had to do with the Boy Scouts of America and the decision that is pending. They want a statement. And on the most part, when you deal with media, they want a statement so they can ostracize and attack you and belittle you for being whatever. I just want to say, you know, the easy statement for any of us is that I believe what the Bible says about lifestyles. I believe that what it says about family. This is what we believe, and we should not be ashamed of what we believe. The Bible says about sin, about what the Bible says about how we are to live our lives. And so I don't know if you saw it in the newspaper. It says Gallatine's Church declined, but referred to, and they did post what our superintendent wrote. And that's exactly how we feel, that for a long time the Boy Scouts of America have followed, if you will, biblical principles in terms of what they do with boys, and the leadership has met a criteria. We support that. But let me just tell you another group. We have a great boys program that we call it the Royal Rangers, and we are not dealing with any of those issues. Can I tell you, every one of our leaders loves the Lord God. They believe in the biblical family, and we are teaching our boys how to be men. And I just take a moment to say thank God for Royal Rangers, and just pray for the leadership. There is so much pressure for them to cave. Pray for the leadership of the Boy Scouts of America that they will make, if you will, stay to the decisions that they've operated under for a long time. But you know, we talked last week about what are they so offended by. It's not the symbol of the cross, I can tell you that. The symbol of the cross is really beautiful, and many of you have it around your neck this morning. It's the message of the cross that people are offended by. For the preaching of the cross is to them who perish foolishness. But unto us, which are being saved, it is the power of God. We shared that last week, and we talked about the messages. Do you know that this, I'm going to read a verse out of Philippians that I believe now has never been more true than today, the day that we live in. And the Apostle Paul is talking here in this verse about people who once knew God, maybe in a prophetic way, talking about a nation who at one time lived under the principles of Judeo-Christian ethics and followed the principles of God. But he would say and identify them differently. He said this about, he's talking about individuals here, but I believe it's a prophetic thing of what is happening in terms of the cross today. He says, "For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are enemies of the cross of Christ." Do you realize that as a result of the offense of the cross, the message of the cross, now in our society and becoming more pronounced in America, there are enemies of the message of the cross. There are enemies of the cross, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is their shame, who mind earthly things. We are witnessing, if you will, in a prophetic way, what is happening in terms of the cross in our society. Billy Graham wrote in a magazine, and I'm quoting him from this magazine, he says, "I find that I can preach on any subject other than the cross and it does not seem to be as offensive to people as the cross does. I can preach on doing good works, on social improvement, on all kinds of things, and people will applaud me. But when I preach on the cross and the blood of Christ, there is an offense. The offense of the cross rises chiefly from the fact that the cross of Christ condemns every other way of salvation. There is only one way, Jesus said, one road, there is only one gate, there is only one kingdom, and that is the way of the cross. The message of there being only one way to God, and that is through Jesus Christ, has never appeared to be and becoming more and more repugnant and outdated than it is now in this society that we live. I believe some of the reasons. I don't know all the reasons, but I do see the results. You and I are experiencing the results of the abandoning of faith, the abandonment of God, the abandonment of the message of Jesus Christ on a cross. We are seeing the results. In spite, though, of all that we may hear in what many are calling the postmodern society, I believe, as your pastor, I still believe that the message is as powerful and compelling as it ever has been. I believe wholeheartedly that you will never make it to heaven outside of the cross of Christ. You will never live a successful life living apart and separate from the cross of Christ. I believe it with all my heart. So I will continue to preach the cross of Christ and Him crucified. And I don't know if the church will dwindle as a result of that, because I can tell you people are looking for maybe a somewhat of a different message. But Paul would state, and I can't even compare to him, but he made this statement, "But God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world." You see, my life and your life is meant to be lived out in celebration of Jesus' work on the cross. The problem that many of us have is that we look at the cross and we know it's shame and the crucifixion, and to us it is a negative. But if somehow you can see beyond the what happened there, even though it was magnificent, there is tremendous celebration that comes as a result of the work of the cross of Christ. While I look at it and I go, man, something of injustice happened on a cross some 2,000 years ago. It wasn't fair. It wasn't right. It was shameful. It was brutal. It was, even in some ways, by looking at it, grotesque. But what happened on there has changed my life for the better, has changed your life for the better. That what happened on a cross has liberated me. And now I received the wonderful benefit. So while I cry that Jesus died on a cross, I rejoice that now I am resurrected with Him, and you are as well. We are now seated with Him in heavenly places because of the cross. It's not despair, but there's tremendous hope and value in living your life centered around the cross of Christ. I have been crucified with Christ. Do you realize when you put your faith in Christ, He gathered you up in a miraculous and mysterious way, and knowing that you would put your faith in Him, He takes you back to the provision of the cross of Christ. In a miraculous way, you and I were there at the cross. Paul says, "I was crucified." You and I were crucified with Him. In a miraculous and mysterious way, by faith, you go back to that moment and all that happened and the great provision of Christ on the cross. You go back to the moment by faith. You were there. He knew you by name. It says, "I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me." You see, it's not a trick. But the reality of the cross, this idea that the cross should be the center of our lives, should be lived out in celebration of life, should be lived out in celebration of Jesus' work, has to do with you and I allowing Christ to live through us. You and I have been crucified with Christ. You no longer live, but Christ lives in me. And it's Christ living in me that will determine your success or failure. To the amount that you allow him to live through you in resurrection power will be to the degree that you, if you will, experience, I use the word success loosely, but fulfillment in life, satisfaction in life, to the degree by which you allow the Spirit now to live in you. You see, before Calvary, before the cross, everything pointed to the cross. From the time of Adam and the fall of Adam, everything pointed to the cross. Everything since that happened AD, after Christ, everything points back to the cross. What happened there was historical. It changed everything. And was meant to change everything for you personally as you live out this life, 2013. What happened there 2,000 years ago was meant to be relevant in your life in such a way that it would impact how you would live out these days. And the question is your life centered? Is your life centered this morning around the cross? Are you living beneath its privilege? Are you living distant from the cross? So, by the way, I'm still in the introduction phase of the message. Bible says that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You see, Satan's power was broken, and there was tremendous things, and we'll get into it over the next number of weeks. I wonder how much, you know, the fact that Jesus said so little, said, you know, they attribute seven things, the last words of Christ on a cross, but the tremendous restraint that he went through. Because I don't know if anyone in this room could have restrained themselves in such a way when you begin to hear accusations. What would you do? Well, if you are the Son of God, get, you know, save yourself and us with you. The mockery and the belittlement and the ridicule that he suffered, yet he restrained himself. And some of the words that you'll hear over the next number of weeks is like, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He restrained from acting or responding. I don't know all that that means, but I know there's tremendous power there. But what happened on the cross is Satan's power was completely broken. And I am not sure that we believe that today. Because we say, well, look at the evil around us. Look at how even our country is spiraling out of control, going into moral demise. How can you say that what Christ did on the cross in any way is victorious? Look at what is happening. Let me tell you something. That is why you and I shine as a bright light, because it is different for you and I, those who know Christ and have accepted its provision. We are a light in darkness. But let me tell you something. When the light loses its, if you will, brightness, when the salt loses its saltiness, We become so, if you will, intermingled that no one can tell the difference. But let me say, the cross of Christ should make a difference in your life. It should be portrayed differently in your life. How you live through crisis, how you live through disappointments of life, the cross makes the difference, and how you go through it should be different. It should not be like the world. That's not even on my notes. You got that for free today. But the power of Satan was broken on the cross. And you will never realize it until you actually experience the power of the cross. Liberating power. The forgiveness of sins, yes. But something happens at the cross where the ownership changes in your life. You were bound by sin outside of the cross. You were serving and you were a slave to Satan and evil. Well, I wasn't that. Yeah, you were. Outside the cross, everyone is evil. Everyone is depraved. Everyone, your righteousness is but filthiness in the sight of a holy God. But the cross changes everything. For those who will believe, the cross changes everything. In our day, it changes everything. You see, we are crucified with him. The more we die, the more we live. The more, I tell you, one of the great challenges that you and I have is to continue to come back to the provision of the cross and keep nailing things to the cross in our lives. I got to keep nailing things to the cross. Every day, what did Paul say? I die daily. Reckon yourself dead to sin and alive to Christ every day, to stay within the provision of the cross. So I'm going to come to a conclusion on my introduction, okay? But you and I are raised with him. It says in Colossians, since then you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above and not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory. Put to death, that is, keep coming back to the cross. Therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature, whether it be sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, greed, which is idolatry, because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways. There has been great debate in my study in Romans. You and I were not continued to be bound to sin after coming to Christ. All three of you, did you hear that? You were not continued to be bound to sin after you come to Christ. You used to, and I love that past tense, you used to walk in those ways. And what is the inference there? That you no longer walk in those ways. You no longer live that way. You used to walk in those ways in your life that you once lived. But now you must rid yourselves of all such things, such as anger, rage, malice, slander, filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices, and you have put on the new self, which is being renewed in the knowledge and the image of the Creator. The cross brings about new life, new, if you will, rule over your life. I mentioned on Wednesday night, do you realize that all of you are remarried? You were married to the law, but you died to the law, your old nature, and you remarried who? You remarried Christ. And he is an incredible husband. He is the best of the best. And for you men that are having trouble with that concept, it's okay, because it's Christ who is our husband. So now I'm done with the introduction. Thank you. Thank you. So for the next 2 hours, I'm going to get into the text today. There is great hope and there's great joy, and I think a real celebration, really, when you center your life around the cross. The reality of life is that, and any of you, most of you know this, you live long enough and you will face hurt. How many know that to be true? You will face pain. You will face rejection. You will face disappointment. And I'm talking about believers. I'm talking about those of us who know and have experienced the great provisions of the cross. And what do we do with our hurt? What do we do with our pain? And what does the cross have to do with my hurt and pain? How do I live life? I'm a little envious of some of our young people. I go, man, they don't have a care in the world. Little do they know what's coming. When they have to actually get a job, and then they lose that job, and then they don't have any money for, and then your boyfriend or girlfriend break up with you, and the disappointments that go there, and then, but it kind of gets much more serious than that. I mean, the stuff of real life that comes our way, and some of you know exactly what I'm talking about. Hurt and pain. And what do we do as believers with hurt and pain? And what does the cross, where does the cross come into that? Isaiah 53, this great familiar passage to many, says, "He is despised and rejected of men." Again, talking about this idea of how Christ was seen and even his going to the cross. He says, "A man of sorrows, acquainted with grief, and we hid as if our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs. He has carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And by his stripes we are healed." And then verse 6, it says, "And all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all." What a powerful passage of Scripture. I can't remember the first time I heard it, but can I tell you, it's still as powerful as the first time I heard it. What a loaded passage. What a loaded description. He bore our griefs and he carried our sorrows. If I were to somehow gather up all the grief and the sorrow in this room this morning, I wonder how much there would be. I think you and I would be shocked. And some of us don't even want to think about it, but I think some of us would be shocked at the amount of hurt and grief and pain in this room this morning. The pain that's been brought about by, maybe in some cases, regrets. The pain brought about by rejection. How much of that is in this room this morning? The pain brought about by loneliness. Or what about the pain brought about by the death of someone that we love so much or someone close to us? What about that pain? Can I tell you, I know it's real in this room this morning. Some of you are right there at this very moment in the grips of grief because of a lost friend or a loved one. Now, Pastor, you were preaching so eloquently and you had us all fired up, and now you have sucked the air right out of this room. I'm not trying to be negative, because the reality is that there is a lot of pain and hurt in this room. I am not going to ignore it this morning. I'm not going to try to gloss over it and pretend it doesn't exist, nor for those of you going through pain and hurt, do I want to say, well, just pray a little longer. Your pain and your hurt is real. What do you do with it? That's the question before us this morning. There is but one place that you can take your hurt and your pain, and that is the cross of Christ. Now, there's something you hear. That's not very profound. We were looking for something much. No, I'm going to say it again. There is but one place that you and I will include myself, because I know disappointments as well and hurt, uncertainty and all that. I know that as well. I know rejection. There is one place to take that. And it's not down at the local psychologist or whatever. There is one place that you take your hurt and your pain, not against anything against psychologists, but if the psychologist doesn't take you to this place, you will be missing the boat as well, and that place is the cross of Christ. What do you do with the hurt? And I want to just scream this out, because I'm not sure we know it, because we think he is so distant from us, but the fact that Jesus came to this planet as God and man, he was fully God and he was fully man. I want to say it and shout it. Jesus knows exactly how you feel this morning. He knows exactly where you are. He knows the pain. He knows the rejection. Well, he was God, so how could he really? No, he knows how you feel. By the way, how many know that Jesus cried? The Bible says he wept. When he got news that the one, the forerunner before him, had been beheaded, he felt the pain of that moment. He didn't gloss over and go, well, yeah, I expected John to get his head cut off. And constantly through his life of ministry, there were people, disappointments, people not rising to the occasion, people not doing what they said they would do. He would give instructions and they would go the other direction. He called one of his own closest, "Get thee behind me, Satan." He had just commended him for telling, for answering the question, right? Who do you say that I am? Well, you're the Christ, the Son of the living God. And flesh and blood had not revealed that to you. Just a few verses later, Peter is doing something. He says, "Get behind me, Satan." I mean, rejection and ineptitude and all that was surrounding him. He knows how you feel. Jesus knows your hurts. He knows your pain. The Bible says that he was stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. His death cannot be compared to any other death that has ever happened. This cross was different than any other Roman cross, because the scripture says that the difference between this crucifixion and other crucifixions was that he had the load of sin. He also had, if you will, your pain and my pain that he bore on the cross. Now, no one who ever been crucified bore the pain of everyone in the world, nor have they bore the sin of the world. This crucifixion was like no other. This cross was like no other cross. And I can tell you this, some of you will watch the Passion of the Christ this season. It doesn't even come close. As hard to watch as that movie is, it doesn't come close to all that happened there. Because you cannot show on screen, a movie screen, what your pain weighs. Nor does it show on a screen what your sin and my sin weigh on him. He bore the iniquity of us all. He was stricken and smitten, that your wounds and your pains, he bore it all. It makes sense to me, common sense, if you are here this morning, that you would go to the cross of Christ where your pain, your hurt, your rejection was bore. That would be the first place that you would go. It makes sense to me that you wouldn't leave and go, well, I'm going to go find some other solution. That you would bring your pain to the cross today. Those incredible words, I can't even imagine. This happened on the cross. Father God looks at Jesus, or he turns away from Jesus, his son, and says, and Jesus says, my God, why have you forsaken me? Anybody suffering the pain of being forsaken in the room? Jesus knew it. He knows how you feel. This distinguishes his death from all others. God turning his back, if you will, on God, his son, because of our sin. And there's a moment in time that seemingly the Godhead is broken, and I can't even describe it, but smitten of God, causing him to be cursed. And yet in verse 10 of chapter 53, it says, yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He put him to grief. Anybody suffering grief this morning in the house? Jesus knew grief. Only God can pay that kind of price, and only God in the person of Jesus Christ could carry the load of your pain and hurt. Only Jesus could do that. So maybe you feel abandoned. Well, Jesus felt that for a moment there. While it may not be so, there is something transpiring between the Father and Son, and there's an abandonment. But Jesus knows how you feel. Your hurt, your loneliness, your grief, your rejection. I don't know how many of you this morning are being harassed, whether it be by voices or maybe in other ways you are being harassed by the enemy. Jesus was harassed as well. He knows how you feel this morning. And he took that harassment. He took your rejection. He took your grief. He took your loneliness. He took your hurt. He took my hurt and loneliness. And he bore it on the cross. And you're saying, well, then where is Jesus right now in my life? Pastor, you have no idea what I am going through. You have no idea the hurt that I'm experiencing, even as you preach this morning, this little sermon you're preaching. You have no idea the rejection that I have felt. You have no idea, Pastor, the pain that I feel. Where is Jesus? And unfortunately, you and I become so blinded by the hurt and the pain that we feel that we can't see him because he is in the middle of our hurt. He is in the middle of your pain this morning. He's in the middle of your rejection this morning. He is there. But the rejection or the hurt, the pain has almost saying, well, he's not anywhere around. All I see, if this represents hurt and pain, all I see is hurt. Where is Jesus? Open your eyes for just a moment and look at the cross. He is right there. Just, if you will, just beyond your hurt. Look beyond it just for a moment and you will find the one who was stricken, smitten of God, who understands everything about you. He is right there. He never leaves us. He never forsakes us. I have cried with parents, and it is true. You say, well, you don't know how I feel. You're right. I don't know how you feel because it's you, and you're you, and I'm me. And I will process things much differently. But somehow, Jesus, even though how I deal with things and how you deal with things, he can identify with both of us. And he can identify with your hurt. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was at all points tempted like we are, yet he was without sin. I have cried with parents. I have cried with family members over bad news. I have cried with the wife and the husband whose spouse has left them. I have shed those tears, and the pain has got to be astronomical, almost more than a person can bear. And I can almost hear the question, Pastor, where is Jesus? He is where you hurt the most. He is where you hurt the most. That's where he's at. Open your eyes to see him. Pull the hurt, just peek through, and you will see that he is there. And may you see the cross of Christ where he bore that for you. He has intervened in your hurt. He has intervened in your pain. Surely he hath borne our griefs. He has carried our sorrows. And yet, what did we do? We esteem that as weakness. We esteem that as him being stricken of God, smitten of God, cursed of God. But what he wants you and I to see today, that it's that very, if you will, a reality that he has bore our sorrows. The fact that he was smitten, that someday he was hoping that you would look beyond the fact of what he suffered, and you would see that in being smitten, he provided a place for you to go in your hurt and your pain. Do you consider him stricken, cursed, afflicted, weak? Look beyond that, because in those moments that he went through those very things, to be able to tell you that he knows how you feel, he hopes and believes that you will come to him, to the cross of Christ, and he will be at that very point of hurt. Surely he hath borne our griefs, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes, by that which hurt him, brings healing to us. By that which caused him to shed his blood brings the forgiveness of sins to us. By what he was afflicted by brings healing to our hurt and pain. You will never experience true peace. You will never experience true healing of your pain, your rejection, or whatever it may be this morning, void of coming to the cross. Well, Pastor, no, I have pills. That's the problem. Because once the pill wears out, you have the grief and the pain. How many know that to be true? That is true. You have to keep taking them. He wants you to come, because there is one who bore your sorrows. He carried your grief. Come to the cross of Christ. And it will. It will make the difference. At least it will put you on a road to healing and recovery. You know, I'm a Christian before I'm a pastor. If you ask me the question, by the way, I want the worship team to come on up, if you would. You ask me, why do you serve God? Well, it's not because I have a job as a pastor. It is at this very point. If I look at all the reasons, and by the way, I'm thankful he forgave my sins. I'm so thankful that I am redeemed and I was purchased back by his blood. All those are wonderful things, and I really can't compare. But I can tell you the thing that has meant most in my life is to know that he bore my sorrow, that he carried my grief. And whatever I may experience this week, maybe more loss, maybe more hurt, maybe more pain, that I continually to come back to the cross, and he is there in the middle of my hurt. He is there in my pain. And I just can't abandon that. Does anybody else need that in their lives on a daily basis? He's always there in the middle of my hurt. He's there in my pain, whatever. Somebody may say something bad to me before we leave today and I just go home dejected. He will be there. Jesus will be there to carry. He's carried it already. He's carried the hurt. And I think of all the reasons why I serve him, that is sure ranks up there. Because I know that no matter what I face, and I have a choice and you have a choice, you can live without that and do what the world does to try to heal the pain, to resolve the issues. How much would you pay for peace? How much would the world pay for peace today? Well, there's probably not enough, all the money that people would pay anything to have peace of mind and heart. It says that the chastisement of our peace was upon him. You see, in the midst of the storm, in the midst of your hurt, in the midst of your pain, and maybe, by the way, some of you can't relate to this because you're on cloud nine, you're just jumping from victory to victory, you have no issues whatsoever. Is anybody here? Because I want to talk to you. I want to know how it is on that mountain. I don't necessarily want to bring you down with me, but I want all of us to be happy and content. But more important than anything is that I really want you to be at peace with yourself and with God. And in the midst of your hurt, in the midst of your pain, I believe peace can flood in. The peace of God. You say, well, the pain's still there. Yeah, it may be, but you have the peace of God that's ruling your heart and life that you can't live without. Peace, and he took upon himself the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. Here are some verses to encourage you as we close. The Lord will give strength unto his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace. Does your pain, does your hurt need peace? Come to the cross. He hath delivered my soul in peace from the battle that was against me. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world gives, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. And you want to know why we are to boast in the cross? May I never boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. We deal with pain and we deal with hurt differently. He bore your sorrows. He carried your grief. The chastisement that would give you peace in the midst of the storm was upon him. And by his stripes, we are healed. Isn't that good news today? That's great news today. For all of us, and I'll include myself, that are in the cruxes of dealing with issues, with hurt and pain. I am so thankful for the cross of Christ. I want to join you today, for those of you that just, you know, I know we've already had one altar time, but those of you that are specifically dealing with sorrow, with pain, with grief, with regret, I want you to join me at the foot of the cross today, where there is one who understands, who is in the middle of our hurt and our situation, who really wants to intervene in our hurt. He's already intervened in our hurt, but he wants you now to begin to experience the healing and the peace that only comes through him. I want you to stand with me if you would. And we're going to sing this song. I'm closing. Man, we'll beat the Baptist to the steakhouse. All is good. But we're going to sing this. And if you just are dealing with something today, pain or regret, just make your way. And it will just be a moment here. But I want you to come to the cross today. Come to the cross. He was smitten of God. We esteemed him as cursed. But it was in that very act, he says, I'm going to intervene in your pain and your hurt. The cross of Christ. I'm forgiven because...